You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from Meadowbrook Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, with Pastor Keith Miller.
Hi, my name's Nathan. If you could please stand in honor of God's Word. And the reason we do that is we believe it to be authoritative over our lives, that we have nothing better to offer than what's in the Bible. And we'll be in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me down, lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me in all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated.
God, we come before you confident that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We come before you in prayer confident that you have anointed our heads with oil, that you have given us a cup of your blessing that's overflowing, that we are your redeemed. For most of us in this room and watching the live stream, we are your redeemed, not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that the Good Shepherd accomplished. By living the life that we could never live, a perfect life, a sinless life, dying on a cross to be a curse for us in our place, a cross that we deserved, he endured to redeem us, to purchase us, so that we could know your rich mercy, your great love, and your infinite grace. So God, I ask that you come and through the power of your Holy Spirit, fill your people. Use the authority of your word and the thing that your Holy Spirit is capable of doing and change us. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, God, do a work in us and through us. For your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever been chased by a dog? It doesn't matter if it's a Chihuahua or if it's a Great Dane. That's what I see when I am on a bike being chased by a dog. Ironically enough, it has happened. Most of the times that I've been chased by a dog has happened in Cheyenne. Yeah, I've been in Colorado cycling. I've encountered coyotes. I've seen all kinds of rattlesnakes, that kind of thing. But I've never been chased so many times than after I arrived in Cheyenne by dogs. And never once did I ever feel like the dog just wanted to love on me or just wanted to be petted. Never once. I always felt threatened. There was a season where I used an e-bike as I was trying to heal up from cycling accidents. And so that thing had turbo on it. And it was pedal assist, so I liked it because you still had to pedal. But if you put in enough effort, you can get up to 28 miles an hour. I remember one day I was riding on my e-bike, and I saw these two little dogs. They were like this big. I don't know what they were, but they were ferocious. That's what I saw in my brain. And they were coming after me, angry. And I put that e-bike on turbo, and they were snipping at my heels, but then I outran them. And you know, on the Greenway, like if you've ever been on the Greenway, kind of go over under the underpass there, there are a couple old ladies there with their dogs. I didn't care. I was just, I'm like, there's dogs coming. And I outran them. I outran them. What does that have anything to do with the 23rd Psalm? It has everything to do with it, and here's why. We're coming to the end of this series in the 23rd Psalm, and the very beginning of verse 6, we read, "Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life." Now, I don't know about you, but there was a season in my life before I came to know Jesus where anything related to Jesus, I had a picture of a Rottweiler in my brain. Like, I wanted nothing to do with him. Like, I would pray to him, and just because I wanted to make sure I got to heaven, that's what, in my brain, I thought, if I just said the Lord's Prayer every night, that was my way in to heaven, but I really wanted nothing to do with him. What we've learned from the 23rd Psalm so far is the 23rd Psalm is for those whose Lord is their shepherd. And oh, is he good. Oh, is he good. He is so good. He is so good. I mean, in the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. If I find him in him as my shepherd, I will not be in need. I know that he's my shepherd because I go to him in my need. He is the one who satisfies my hunger. He is the one who satisfies my thirst. I need him. That's the very first verse. And then he lets me lie down in green pastures, or maybe a better translation, he causes me to lie down in green pastures. He did the work in my life to redeem me. I was dead, and now he's made me alive in Christ. I was a child of wrath, and now I am loved by him. It is because of his great love, his rich mercy, and his grace that I am a child of God. And because he's done that in my life, he causes me to lie down in green pastures. That's the point. That's the point. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in tracks of righteousness, literally tracks of righteousness. There's only one way to have my hunger and my thirst for righteousness satisfied, and it is in Jesus. And I follow him. I follow him. And why? For the sake of his name. He's done all of this in my life and in your life. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Why do we have, those of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, why is it that we fear no evil? Because, man, our Savior, he has a rod. He has a rod that he will beat to a pulp all the enemies of his people. He defends us from the enemies of his people, meaning that death has no claim over your soul. That cancer or disease has no claim over what Christ has already given you. That even though cancer or disease or a heart attack or whatever it is, a dissolving relationship, broken promises, shattered dreams, like none of that can take from you what is yours in Jesus. That's the abundant life. That even though, as Jesus said, they kill you, not a hair on your head will perish. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He's not going anywhere. He is with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We looked at that last week. Oh my, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They can't touch me. If you belong to the Lord, they can't touch you in the sense that they can't rob you of what belongs to you. If you're a Christian, you are a child of the living God. You went from being an enemy of God to being a son, to being a daughter. No enemy will be able to take that from you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a feast. There was a feast, and all that all my enemies can do, the only thing that they can do is watch. Because there's a shepherd with a rod. And his staff is used to protect me from myself, to protect you from yourself. He brings us back when we wander and when we stray. He finds us and meets us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's blessing. That's Exodus 19. That's 1 Peter. That's we are his treasured possession. That once we were in darkness and now we are in light. Once we were blind, but now we see. And he's anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Meaning, I have more than enough, and I have all that I need in him. And then we come to verse 6. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's why I just want to spend our time just unpacking that together, just so our hearts could be blessed and full. Like, what does it mean that his goodness and his faithfulness follow me all the days of my life? Are his goodness and his faithfulness, are they sheepdogs that kind of keep us close to him? Or is there something much, much more than that? There are three questions that I'm going to answer through our time together to help us unpack this. And the first question is, what is the nature of the goodness and faithfulness that is following Jesus' sheep? What's the nature of that? To what degree is goodness and faithfulness following me? And for how long can I expect goodness and faithfulness to follow me? I'm going to answer those three questions with you this morning. And we'll begin with the first one. What is the nature of the goodness and faithfulness that is following me? What is the nature of this of the goodness and faithfulness that is following you? It doesn't say it may follow you. It doesn't say it might follow you. It says that it is following you, that goodness and faithfulness is following you, and it's not just following you, it's following you all the days of your life. If the Lord of the 23rd Psalm is your Lord, then verse 6 is for you. It's for you, Christian. And so, how do we get under this? How do we figure out what's being said here? Well, the clue is the context of the entire passage, which I just gave to you. But verse 5, like you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Meaning they can't touch you. They can't rob from you what's yours in Christ. You have been anointed but with oil, and your cup overflows. The cup is, like I said last week, the cup is not Welch's grape juice. It's like the best wine, and it's overflowing. And if you don't like wine, that's okay. You will one day in glory. It will be really good stuff. And for those of you who are recovering addicts, don't go near the stuff on this side of eternity, but on that side of eternity, with the wedding feast with King Jesus, oh, it will be good. It will be good. But the point here is blessing. It's blessing. My cup overflows. And so because it overflows, certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life. Not just part of my life, not just when I'm walking with him, but from the moment of redemption, from the moment my faith and trust was resting in him, from the moment that I went from being dead in my sins to being alive with Christ, goodness and faithfulness has started following me and will follow me all the days of my life. He found me, and he found you. And that because of that, goodness and faithfulness is following you. The Hebrew word for follow can be translated follow after. And so I don't know what version of the Bible you're using, but really the word follow really is, it should be translated pursue. I mean, it can be translated follow, but pursue is a better word. Think about that. Or chase. The Hebrew word could be translated chase. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will pursue me, will chase me all the days of my life. Puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? Like, goodness and faithfulness is not just hanging back, casually following me, stalking me, you know. No, it's chasing after me. That's the point. Because of who I am in the Lord, because He is my shepherd, and in Him I have no need, He satisfies my hunger and my thirst for righteousness, goodness and faithfulness is chasing after me. It's chasing after me. Not because of anything I've done, but because of who the Lord is of the 23rd Psalm. The New Living Translation, I like the way it actually, ironically, this is a better translation than the NASB, the one I'm preaching from. Let's read this together. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And we'll get into like what goodness is and what faithfulness is, or unfailing love is another way to translate that word. It's a Hebrew word, hesed. It's a covenantal love that's being used here. But just to continue to get at like what does this mean for God's goodness and faithfulness to pursue me all the days of my life? We need to understand those two words, goodness. Like, there's the same Hebrew word is used here in this passage is used in Numbers chapter 1, verse 7. It's sandwiched between judgment. And it's a beautiful verse. And it says this. Let's go to the next verse. Let's read this together. Ready? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. What is the Lord? He's good. Now, this is not just an attribute, it's who He is. He's good. This is where I get, you know, he doesn't need to improve upon being good. He's infinitely good. He doesn't need to get better at it. We do, He doesn't. He's good. He's good. And because He's good, he found us. And if you're a Christian in this room, He redeemed you. And if you're not a Christian in this room, you know, well, you wait and see. He'll find you. I was running from Him. I was running from the Lord. And sometimes it hurts when He finds you. I had to step in front of a car for him to get my attention. For my dad, he had to have his hand cut off, like literally. For my full-blood brother, Dave, he had to be electrocuted. Some of you are like, I don't want that for my life. I don't know. Something with the Millers. We're hard-headed, and the Lord has to really take radical steps to get our attention. But He is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. Another place where this same word is used is in Psalm 106, verse 1, which says this. So let's read this together. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy is everlasting. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. How long is everlasting? Forever. Forever. He is good. He is good. And you know why it is that goodness follows God's people? It's because God is good. You're like, well, I knew that. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. You can hold on to that. You can cling to that. I describe clinging on to promises like this as preaching the gospel to your own heart. Our hearts are fickle, and we need to remind ourselves, because we suffer from spiritual amnesia sometimes. We just read the Psalms. You read one Psalm, it's like, Lord, I love You. You're here. You're present with me. You're amazing. And then the next Psalm is, where are You, Lord? Where have You gone? Why have You abandoned me? We suffer from spiritual amnesia sometimes. And so we need to remind ourselves of who God is. He is good. He is good. And because He is good, His goodness follows me, and it just doesn't follow me, it pursues me. It just doesn't pursue me, it chases after me. And it might not be what you think is good, but it's what He knows is good for you. And sometimes that could be painful. Sometimes that can involve pruning in your life. Sometimes it could come in the form of a disease. Sometimes it can come in the form of a death or the need to say goodbye to a loved one. But he doesn't waste a hurt. And the reason why I know he doesn't waste a hurt nor does he waste a tear is because he's what? He's good. He's good. But that's not the only word that's used here. The other word is faithfulness in the New American Standard. The faithfulness, and most versions use the word faithfulness. Some versions use loving kindness. Other versions of the Bible will use steadfast love. Some may even use enduring faithfulness. But it all comes from the same word. And it's a Hebrew word that means God's covenantal love. He is faithful even when we're faithless. And that's who he is. It's a word that describes God's covenantal faithfulness towards his people. This is where I get, you'll hear me say this periodically, he is for you, not against you. And he wants your good. I've shared this with you multiple times. God's word, the Bible, is not his method to wreck your joy, it's to maximize it. How do I know that? Because he's what? He's good and he's faithful. And over again, we see this in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 33, which I'll have the verses on the screen, but the context is this, is and I actually reflected on this a couple months ago, I think. But Moses, God used Moses to lead his people, to lead the Hebrew people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea, and they were now in the land, in the wilderness. And what was ahead of them was the promised land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Moses could bank on the promises of God because he had come to know that God is faithful and that God is good. But the one thing that Moses learned very quickly was that the Lord's people were not faithful, nor were they good. In Exodus 19, God said through Moses, he said, if you will obey my commandments, if you keep my statutes, if you follow me, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. And what did the Hebrew people say? They said, we'll do that. We love you. We're all for you, Lord. Just let us know through Moses what you want us to do. And then Moses said, well, I got to go up on the mountain now, and I'm going to receive the commandments from the Lord. And so, okay, go. This is great. Awesome. And I don't know how long, like how long it was before the Hebrew people started complaining, where's Moses? I don't think he's ever coming back down. I think God abandoned us. Like, and it was like days ago that they said, we'll do whatever you want us to do, Lord. And so they go to Aaron, and they ask Aaron, look, can you make a golden calf for us, and we'll just worship the golden calf, because Moses isn't coming down, clearly, and we don't know what's going on. So Aaron, out of fear, makes this golden calf, and we're told that the Hebrew people, once it was made, like they gave all their gold, all the gold that God had gifted them through during their time in Egypt, they took and made a idol out of it, and they worshipped it. Moses came down, and that's where he, broke the tablets, and things were a mess. And God said, Moses, I'm just going to start over with you. And Moses said, well, then what are the nations going to say? Because you're good, and you're faithful, and you made some promises to your people. Now, God doesn't suffer from spiritual amnesia. He was teaching Moses a lesson. I've called you to be a shepherd before my people. And so they had this conversation, and God said, you know what? I'm for you with Moses. I'm not going to abandon the people, but I'm just not going to go with them. You go and you lead them. I'll be with you. And Moses said, I don't want to go if you're not going to go with us. And so there's this whole conversation. So God said to him, I will go with you. And then Moses asked him a question, Lord, can you show me your glory? And God said, well, you can't see my face and live, but I will allow my presence to pass before you or by you. and you could see my back part, whatever that means. I'm not exactly sure, but God hit him in the cleft of the rock, and this is what God said to Moses. So all this, just help us understand verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm. I myself will make all my what? My goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will, and here, and this is the essence of his name, and I will be what? Gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show what? Compassion to whom I will show compassion. Meaning, it's not going to be human will that generates God's compassion and his mercy for fallen humans. No, God will decide whom he will be gracious to, and whom he will be compassionate to, and whom he will show mercy to. Like, he's going to do that. And so God hides him in the cleft of the rock, and he passes by, and this is what is said as he passes by the Lord. The Lord God, compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in, there's that word, faithfulness. It's that Hebrew word. And truth, who keeps, there it is again, faithfulness for thousands, who forgives wrongdoing, violation of his law, and sin. Meaning he's merciful, but he's also good. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, inflicting the punishment of fathers on the children and to the grandchildren and to the third and fourth generation. He is good, he is merciful, he is just. And so what we're told here, going back to the 23rd Psalm, certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me. How long will it follow me? All the days of my life. All the days of my life it will follow me. The oil on your head and the overflowing cup that Christ has given to you is evidence that his goodness and his faithfulness is chasing after you. Now, the enemy and your flesh will want you to believe that God has forgotten you, or that somehow you have forfeited your salvation if you've truly believed in him. But what the psalmist is telling us, and what the Holy Spirit is telling us through his word, is that faithfulness and goodness will follow me, not sometimes, not maybe, not only if, but all the days of my life. Which leads me to the next point, and that is, to what degree is goodness and faithfulness following me? I'm so glad you asked. This is the good stuff. The goodness of God and his covenantal faithfulness is who he is. Now do the math, okay? So you're looking at your Bible right now and you're like, okay, I'm tracking with you, Pastor Keith. If God is good and if he is faithful, what or who is it that's chasing after you? Goodness and faithfulness are not sheepdogs. Goodness and faithfulness is the good shepherd. He's chasing after you. He is pursuing you. And it doesn't end once he gets you. He pursues you how long? All the days of your life. This is so good. For me, I think this is good. I don't know about you, but like this is good stuff. Like, what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you. There are three passages that came to mind, and I'll just share them with you. It looks like him pursuing you when you were not pursuing him. It looks like him pursuing you when you were still dead in your sins. That's what it looks like. It looks like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you were dead in your sins and in your offenses, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh. That was us. That was us. I don't care how old you were, that at some point in your life, that was you. That was me. And it goes on to say that by nature we are children of wrath, just as the rest, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. Amen? Like, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to have God's goodness and his faithfulness pursuing you. That's what it looks like. And so what now? What now? What does that look like today? It looks like Romans chapter 8. That's what it looks like. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who what? Who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who in the room have been called according to His purpose? Every single one of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's who. If you're a Christian in this room, you've been called according to His purpose. And what does that mean? Well, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that we who would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. And then listen to this. This is verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be what? Against us. That's the table in the presence of, before our enemies. That's the table that's before us in the presence of our enemies, and they can't touch you. Why? Because God is for us. Therefore, no one can be against us. And so, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said this in John 10, and you're familiar with it by now. The thief comes only to kill and to destroy, but I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So what does that mean? Well, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never, what? Perish. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one will be able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's what goodness and faithfulness looks like, that's pursuing, that's chasing after the sheep of the Good Shepherd. So how many of you will recognize the fact that you are sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd? Just, you know, that means the question is, are you a Christian? And that's for you, brothers and sisters. All of that is for you. Like the goodness of God and His covenantal loving kindness, His faithfulness, His unfailing mercy is pursuing you because Jesus is pursuing you. And listen, He's pursuing you because He's not interested in tagging along. He's pursuing you because He's not interested in hanging back. He's pursuing you because He's not waiting to see what will happen. He's pursuing you because you belong to Him. If you placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you belong to Him. You are His treasured possession. And so when you doubt where it is that your citizenship is, you go back to those moments that you've surrendered your life to Jesus. And the evidence that you belong to Him is that you still love Him. That's what it means to have His goodness and faithfulness pursue you. He's the good shepherd. And He's pursuing His sheep. He's not only leading them, He's pursuing them. Like while you were dead in your sins, He found you. He pursued you not because He had to. He pursued you because He wanted to, because He loves you. Not because He was obligated to. And it's not because He needed you. It's because He set His love upon you. And it's because of His infinite goodness and His faithfulness that the Good Shepherd laid down His life for you and for me, so that we can know the God of all creation, so that we can be alive in Him. And so, to what degree is the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God following you? To the degree that Jesus is following you and pursuing you and chasing after you. I mean, He said, He promised, I will never what? Let you go. Another way to say that is the way that the Apostle Paul said it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, he summed it up well at the end of Romans chapter 8. As I'm just thinking of this, I just feel led to, you know, I should share this with you again. Like, we need to hear this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And the answer to those questions is what? No, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So to what degree is God's faithfulness and goodness pursuing you? To that degree. You know, and for how long? For how long is his goodness and faithfulness pursuing me? Yeah, look at the word. It's easy to miss. It says, certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me. Here's the word, all. Not just the days of my life, but that word's an important word, all. All means while I'm sleeping and while I'm awake, God's goodness and faithfulness is pursuing me. All means that in my failures and in my successes, God's goodness and faithfulness is pursuing me. All means that in the words of Abraham Cooper, this, and I have the words on the screen, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what all means. And then all the what? All the days of my life. It doesn't mean some days. It doesn't mean the good days and the bad days. It means all the days of my life. From new birth to final breath and after, all the days of my life. You know what? His goodness and faithfulness will not stop pursuing me when I die. It will continue to pursue me on the other side of eternity. And the same is true for each and every one of you who've placed your faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of whose hand? Jesus' hand, my hand, he said. What does this mean? I love the lines from In Christ Alone. This is what it means. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. So, God's goodness and his faithfulness pursue you. Not like a Rottweiler or an angry dog, but as the good shepherd who loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. So run. But run to him. Run to the one who promises to satisfy you with all that you really need. Run to him who promises to satisfy your hungry soul and your thirsty soul. Run to him who promises to restore your soul. Run to him who carries a rod to drive away your enemies and a staff to protect you from yourself. Run to him who prepares a table in the presence of your enemies, and he forbids them to take from you or to rob from you what he has given you. Run to him whose goodness and faithfulness is more than you will ever need. Run to him who promises to never leave you nor forsake you. Run to Jesus, who is infinitely good and faithful and promises to never, ever let you go. Amen? And how do you run to him? Open the book. Let him speak into your heart. Seek him in prayer. And if you're discouraged, go to him. Bring that stuff before him. Like a little child, bring it all before him, expecting him to hear you. And he might not answer the way that you want him to answer, but he will answer in the way that you need him to answer, in his time and in his way. Amen?
Thank you for listening to the Meadowbrook Church Podcast. For more information about our church, visit meadowbrook.org.